Praise God. Tammy, we got some overhead still playing that needs to come off. Praise God. So, Father, we thank you today as we come to you in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. We thank you for your word. You sent your word and healed us and delivered us from our destruction. We thank you for supernatural health and healing that your word has provided for us, as well as answers to questions and solutions to problems and the help that people need in, Lord, time of bodily ailment, mental distress, and confusion that the world brings. So we thank you today. We have answers and solutions from your word. We thank you that we're open and receptive to it, and we will receive your highest and best today in Jesus' name. And everyone that agreed with that said, amen. Why don't you wave at somebody, shake a hand next to you, and welcome them today. Want to welcome everyone online as well today. Thank you for being here. And, you know, today, the series that we're once again are doing is God's Remedy, Redemption. And for those that may not have been with us, I realize that probably most of everyone in here today, but not necessarily always online, have heard these messages. So in this series, we've answered some pretty important life questions surrounding healing. Like, is healing still for today? If God does heal, then does he just do it in a pick and choose fashion? Or does man play a part in it? You know, if you've ever had those kind of thoughts or questions, the good news is there's answers to all of them and many more found in the Word of God, and that's exactly what we're looking at. And today, in this series, God's Remedy, Redemption, it will actually be our last message in this series. And if you're taking notes, we'll eventually get to what we're going to be talking about. We're going to do a little bit of recap and some new things and then jump right into what we want to talk about. But if you're taking notes, today's message is going to be entitled, I've Received, Now What? I've Received, Now What? So in this series, what we've actually been doing, God's Remedy, Redemption, if you've been here, you know we've been looking at forgiveness and healing that Jesus purchased for us in his redemptive work on the cross. And Isaiah 53 has been the starting place, the launching pad, and the focus for this teaching. And so once again, we want to turn there to Isaiah 53, verse 4 and 5, which is known, this chapter, as the great redemptive chapter. Now, I've taught on this for many weeks, and there are many things still left in this chapter that's left undone, but the most consistent thing that we've driven the point home is healing, like forgiveness, is the will of God, and it was both with purchase on Calvary at the same time. Praise God. And so in Isaiah 53, verse 4 and 5, it says, surely, that means certainly or truly, he hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. We explain really what the Hebrew is saying in that. Yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement for our peace was upon him. And with his stripes we are healed. Everybody say, we are healed. So God's work here is revealed, and it shows that his will is for our wholeness, spirit, soul, and body. It's found here without question. This is why it says surely. This is why it says certainly. That's what the word surely means. It means certainly and truly. And we've established that these verses become the evidence. Everybody say evidence. They actually become the evidence and proof. We called them evidence, proof, receipts, and actually our title deed. In other words, that healing, like salvation, was purchased for mankind at the same time on Calvary. And because both are part of redemption, meaning the price paid to set us free, they are the will of God for each of us. They're inseparable. Just like forgiveness and salvation is the will for all mankind, so is healing. This proves it. This is our, we could say, our evidence. The word is, it is our receipt. It is our title deed. And unless we take it as that, it is not yet faith. God has written these things so it would persuade our heart. How does faith come? By hearing, and hearing by the word of God. So that when we hear what he has said, that has persuaded us, and then his word becomes the evidence, the proof, the receipts, and the title deed that healing is the will of God for each of us. These scriptures in Isaiah 53 reveal to us two main thoughts. That the blood of Jesus paid the price for sin so we could be made righteous. And the stripes of Jesus paid the price for sickness and disease so that you and I could be healed. That's wonderful. Amen. And both are past, accomplished, and finished facts and a done deal as far as God's concerned. He has not and he will not, cannot change his mind about these things. And until we line ourselves up with that, we simply won't receive. But it won't be because God hasn't done or hasn't accomplished something for us. It just means that we don't know how to agree with God yet. And one of the important parts of the Healing Center is for us to understand how to cooperate with God and receive everything that God has wrought for us. So just like the blood of Jesus paid the price for our sin so that we could be made forgiven and made righteous, and even so the reason we can be the reason that we are made righteous is because we have accepted Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, and we've allowed the sacrifices of his blood to not only pay the price for the forgiveness of our sins, but actually to cause us to become the righteousness of God in Christ. But at the same time, if we understand that on Calvary, that the stripes of Jesus actually purchase or pay the price and purchase the price that sickness and disease was due so that we could be made whole, then, and we understand that these two things, now what is waiting for us is this simple thing, for us to know about it and to receive it. So let's talk about this, to know about what the word says. Now I realize that I've talked about this, but I'm driving this point home because it's so important. Faith doesn't come by having heard, it comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. And so to know about, in other words, to know about what the blood and the stripes have done, this is the purpose of the word of God. We can't know about what God has done outside of the word of God. This is why the word is so important. This is the purpose of the word of God. This is the purpose of us hearing it, and it is to know what God has said. Faith is born from what God has said. And what God has said is his word. And now because of it, you know you can be healed as readily as you can be forgiven. It is no more difficult for God to heal us as it is to forgive us. The difficulty part isn't on God's end. It's on our end and our misunderstanding that we must do something different to receive healing than we did to receive forgiveness. Both are received by grace through faith, or you don't get it. Not because God didn't give it, but because we did not receive it. We have to understand that. To know about and, everybody say, to receive. To receive, we found that whatever God's grace has given, which includes forgiveness and healing, it must be received by our faith. It has to be received by our faith. So we found that faith isn't waiting for God to do something, it is actually taking or receiving what God has said he's given or already done for us. We're not waiting. We're taking, we're receiving. But you can't take or receive something that God hasn't given, and you can't take or receive something that you don't know about that God has given. There's a lot of things that, see, the Bible calls God's grace his unmerited favor, his free gifts towards us. It calls it the manifold grace of God, or the many-sided grace of God. So grace consists of many of the gifts that God freely gives. the important part about that is we must first know what he's given, because that produces faith once we know it. And then we use that same identical faith just to receive it and say, I thank you, Lord, for it. I receive it. I have it. I'll take it now. Praise God. So faith is always now. Remember, just write this down. Hebrews 11:1. We looked at this last week. Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Remember how we turned that around and says, where it says, now faith is always now. So you could always say it like this. Now faith is. Faith is. Now faith is. Praise God. So faith is now. Faith for anything we're believing for must be now. And a great illustration of this, because we know in redemption, salvation and healing was purchased at the same time. It is so clear. Here's a great example of this, and we used this before. We're going to look at it again, so we drive this point home before we move on. In 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 1 and 2. Here's what it says. 2 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 1 and 2. It says, we then, as workers together with him, beseech you also that you receive not the grace of God in vain. Now notice here it says how you receive not the grace of God in vain. So that means that you can receive it, but you can also receive it in vain. In other words, it doesn't do you any good. Now really what it's saying is this, that grace of God must, whatever God's given must be received. In other words, it only becomes useless or in vain if you don't receive it. Okay, now look what verse 2 says. Here's what it says. It says, for he saith, I have heard thee in the time, accept it, and in the day of salvation, I have secured thee, or that succored thee. That means I've come to your help. Behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. Now my case in point is this. That if redemption purchased salvation and healing at the same time, this tells us that, made it very clear, that when we hear the message of salvation, that God's grace has provided, God expects us that we receive that, because he says the moment you know that I've come to help you, that's the moment that you must receive what I've come to help you with, and that is to receive salvation. How do you receive it? By faith through grace. But if that's true, if now is the day of salvation, it also means now is the day of healing, because salvation and healing are part of redemption and purchase at the same time and must be received at the same way. So we can say now is the day of salvation and now is the day of healing. Because whatever is part of redemption, you're not waiting for God to move. He's already has, and he's waiting on us to receive. Stop waiting for God to move some spectacular way and heal you. He is waiting for you to receive. That's what he's waiting for. And that's why many people do without. Now, I realize this, that God has he has numerous ways, and we briefly talked about this, at least we've mentioned this. God in his wonderful mercy and his grace for us, his love for us, he's provided numerous of ways for people to be healed, okay? But he never intended for us to wait for him to move in some spectacular way. He moved 2,000 years ago on the cross. And he wants us to know about that and receive that. But God in his mercy knows this, that some people will never get it any other way. So it could be that in a service, sometimes a gift of the Spirit is called out and says, God showed me that someone here is being healing of XYZ. Receive it right now. And that kind of thing can happen. That is God's grace and mercy in action. But let me share this with you. You're not guaranteed that, but what you are guaranteed, blessed. Thank God for that. Thank God, I rejoice when that happens. But you're not guaranteed that. But what you are guaranteed is what His Word says. His Word was sent to heal us and deliver us from our destruction, and we must receive it as such. So we're not waiting for God to move. God is waiting for us to receive. He's waiting for us to know about what He has said and simply receive that by faith. That is the highest and best. Let me tell you something. That is the highest and the best and the number one way that God wants us to receive. Now, once again, possibly at the end of the service today, there could be someone here today and say, you know what, laying on hands is a way of healing. We many times lay hands on people because that is a way, a method of healing. Contact and transmission of God's healing power. That's right. And if you want to release your faith that way, that's why we have that at the end. But God's highest, and that's good. You got to believe there too. You got to believe there too. So God just wants us to know that faith is the way that we receive. Faith is the way. Faith for salvation of healing or healing is always now, or it's not faith yet. I'm going to say that again. This is so important. Faith for salvation or healing is always now, or it's not faith yet. Praise God. Faith is not waiting. It is taking. And into the natural mind, that seems impossible. How can we take something from God? Well, you can't if He's not offering it or giving it. But if He says that that's how you get it, by taking it or receiving it, then that's what we must do. So faith is not waiting, it's taking. It's not waiting on God to heal us. It is you taking or receiving healing He said He's already given. Has He said He's already given something? According to 1 Peter 2:24, He has, who His own self bore your and my sin in His own body on the tree, that we being dead to sin shall live by His righteousness. Notice, by whose stripes, 1 Peter 2:24, by whose stripes you were healed. And if you were healed, you are healed. Hallelujah. Peter's looking back at the cross, saying, as far as God's concerned, you were healed. He appreciates us agreeing with God. And so faith takes, faith receives it and says, I have it now. If we're going to be in faith, at some point we have to draw the line and say, I take it, I have it now. I receive it now by faith, or you don't have it. It's not wishing, it's not hoping, it's not maybe so. There's a definite measure of faith in how it works, and you receive what God has given. Now, this is very important what I'm getting ready to say and focus on for the next few moments. The first thing that we must understand, now, I've been teaching on this for numerous weeks and finally gotten to this point, and I promise that this week, that's what we're going to be talking about, that now that I've received, now what? This is very important. Now, I could spend the next 6 weeks or 8 weeks talking about now what afterwards. But this is my last shot at you. Amen. And Pastor Debbie is going to be back, and y'all are going to be blessed. I think you should put your hand together for Pastor Debbie and her team that does such a wonderful job. They really do. So the first thing we must understand when it comes to our healing is this. Nothing is going to work until we believe we received it. Now, I'm going to say this again because this is so important. I think this statement is so important that you should write this on the front of your Bible somewhere, or in some place where healing notes are, so you never forget this. I'm going to say this is so important. The first thing we must understand when it comes to our healing is nothing is going to work until we believe we received it. Praise the Lord. Now, let me share a story with you. I was once asked by a very nice and genuine person seeking healing. Let me say this, and I mean this with all my heart. Very nice and very genuine. But nice and genuine don't get us healed. Faith in God's grace gets us healed. So, the devil don't care how sincere you are. Because being sincere don't get you healed. But he does, and he is concerned about you knowing what the Word says. And so in this genuine and sincere question that this person has, the person asked this question because they had not, after praying repetitively and asking God to heal them, they hadn't been healed. And so naturally when that happens, people become discouraged. Let me ask you something. Have you ever been discouraged, not necessarily mad at God? There are people that get mad at God. I know that. But I'm not even talking about getting mad at God. I'm just talking about being discouraged because you were believing for something that just, or at least you thought you were believing for something. Or let me say it like this, that we thought that we were believing something. So I'm going to put it just back on me, just like I would you. But this is the truth, that we thought we were believing for something, but it never showed up. Now, number one, you're going to have to know that what you're believing for is the will of God for you to have. You have to know it's the will of God for you to have. You can't ask for, 10,000 oil wells and think that's going to show up. Because that's not the will of God. Hey, you know that's the will of God. You don't have no proof that that's the will of God for your life. Okay? Well, the Lord just told me he was going, let's just stick with what the Word says. Okay, so first you got to know what the will of the Lord, what the Word says in order for you to be able to receive something. Is that right? But what happens is many times the disconnect is in how we're believing. It's never on God's end. If God offers something, let's just be honest. Let's get it. The sooner we get this straight, whoever we are, and me included, if we're not getting it, it's not on God's end. It's never on the sending end, it's our end. It doesn't mean anything other than there's a disconnect. Doesn't mean you're evil. Doesn't mean you're bad. Doesn't mean you're less than. That's what the devil wants you to think and get mad. And it sure doesn't mean that God isn't offering it. The devil wants you to be mad, discouraged, and say, well, this ain't for the day, and this ain't that received that proves it because I never got it. Well, once again, your experience is not proof whether healing belongs to you or not. God's Word is. And so this is what's important for us to understand and for us to know. So I'm going to go back to this story. I was once asked, I'm qualifying the story. So just picture a person who's genuine, sincere, loves God, and God loves him, just like you and just like me. But because of whatever reason, they've asked many times, obviously, and without the healing to manifest, here's what's their question to me. It's a very good question. Great question. It says, does there come a time when a person should stop asking for healing? Now, before you answer that, let me tell you what I said to that person, because this will help us in this today. So the question was, does there come a time when a person should stop asking for healing? Here's my answer. I said, absolutely, but let me explain. Now, remember, this person is discouraged, so they want to give up. So they in genuinely asking, should there come a time that they just stop asking? Just give up. Just stop asking. I said, absolutely, but let me explain. Simply asking without believing you receive what you're praying for or asking for is not faith and will never work. In Mark 11:24, Jesus said that when we pray or ask, we must believe we received it and then we'll get it. But we will never receive by just asking or pleading alone, because that's not faith. And we will never have what we're praying for without receiving or taking it by faith first. Now, that's the correct answer. And that doesn't mean I'm smart. That just means I can read the Bible. We all can, but let me just tell you something. Has the Bible ever been foggy to you on something before? Especially when you're going through a trial. And I can tell you, especially when you've heard the Word and don't do the Word. Because the entrance of God's Word gives light, Psalms 119 says. The moment you get that light and you don't walk in it, you know what you are? You're in darkness. The moment the Word is sent and to bring light to you and you refuse it, now you're in darkness. That's why everything's going fuzzy. That's why we can ask the question, should there be a time that we just stop asking? As if God doesn't give anymore. Or maybe I don't know what's all in the person's mind other than I've been asking for a long time and I'm tired of asking, so should I stop? Because maybe God don't love me, or what are all the myriad of questions that we may have? This is why I said, understanding this is so important. When it comes to our healing, this is what we need to understand. Nothing is going to work until we first believe we received it. Then now here's, we're going to jumpstart. We're taking 25 minutes to jumpstart and where we're going to go today. But that didn't hurt you. That helped us all today. And remember, what is today's message? I've received now what? So in other words, now, Pastor, now that I believed I've received it, now what? What am I supposed to do? Because let me tell you, now the battle begins. Because the devil don't want you to keep what God has given you. Or don't want you to keep what you've received from God. So let's talk about that for a moment. So now that I believed, I received, what's next? What's next is called the stand of faith. The stand of faith. From the time that you believed you received your healing to the time you have it, in other words, in the time it's manifested, you must stand. Your faith will be in the stand. Your stand upon the Word of God that you believed you received your healing by. So in other words, there's certainty or definitely grounds for you to stand on. It's called the Word of God. Your stand of faith must be on the Word. Not just the Word in general, but a specific, a certain word that has produced faith in your heart. Now, it can be several scriptures, but let me tell you something. It has to be definite. It has to be certain. It has to be something that you're going to be unmoved from because your faith is anchored on that and you have received what God said by that word. Apart from what you feel, apart from what you see, and because of simply what God has declared. So this is what we must understand. So your stand must be upon the Word of God. And so this is why meditation is so important. Because in order for you and I really to receive from God, there must be a definite thing that we receive to receive it by. In other words, a word to receive it by, but also now a word to stand on. That we're unmovable, unshakable. As unmovable as and unshakable as the Word of God is. And that's only going to happen if you're convinced that that word is a word from God. This is why Satan always attacks the Word of God. And the first place he will always work in every person's life is in the attack of the Word of God. Because until the Word of God becomes your absolute authority, it is not faith. And without faith, you can't please God or receive from God. See, it has to be. This is why everything goes back to the authority of the Word of God. In other words, we just take what is written as God speaking to us and is true. And until we do that, faith can't be there. In other words, unless you receive it as that, it ain't faith. See, this is why the devil in the world, in the world system, always wants to discredit that. It attacks the Word of God. It attacks the Word of God because that is the source of your faith. Faith begins where the will of God is known. And if you don't think that's God's word, then you can't think that's the will of God. And that is what the devil comes to attack. He attacks the word because he knows until you settle it as God talking to you, or it's him, and it means what it means, and it has power to do in you what he says it'll do, then it won't. It doesn't mean it can't. It just means it won't in you because it takes faith to turn that key to operate it. God made it that way. I didn't. God did. We just have to receive it that way. The good thing is that we can. So let's talk about this stand of faith and what that looks like and how the Word talks about that for us. So we're going to turn to Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 13 and 14. And it says, wherefore take unto you the whole armor of God, that you may be able or have power to withstand in the evil day. Everybody say stand. Withstand. So notice the stand is in with the withstand. What are you withstanding? You're withstanding the evil day. In other words, what the enemy is bringing in the evil day. The evil day is the day that comes to oppose your faith in God. Oppose whatever God says you can have. And in this case, healing. But it could be peace. It could be joy. It could be finances. It could be anything that God promises that we could have. But I can just tell you that God says that we can withstand in the evil day by taking the whole armor of God. Now, the whole armor of God has to do with all those pieces go back to the Word of God and how the centrality of the Word of God holds all that armor in place. They work on our behalf. In other words, they help us in the stand against, just like armor would help the soldier to be from the all the attacks that would come to the enemy will protect them. That's what the armor does. Our faith and our stand of faith, or in this case, withstanding the evil day and having done all to stand. Everybody say to stand. Okay, that's the second stand. Notice in verse 14, it goes on to say, stand therefore. Having done all to stand, stand therefore. There's three stands in two verses. Having your loins girded about with truth. Notice everything begins with truth. Everything, all the armor is held by truth. That's not my subject, is the armor. But what I'm saying is truth is the part that holds everything else together. Until you settle that God's word is truth, nothing works. You can say you love God, and you may, and you can. But nothing that God has given, there's a lot of people, let me tell you something. There's a lot of people that love God and sincerely love God, but nothing is working for them because they haven't settled the truthfulness of God's word, the authority of God's word. This is why it's so important. This is why it has to be talked about. This is why we have to be reminded of it. And this is why we need to understand. Until we understand that that is necessary, we won't receive anything. Having your loins girded about with truth and having on the breastplate of righteousness. So notice here in these two verses, my point here is this. Stand three times. So what are we talking about? What's next, Pastor? I've received. What's next? It's called the stand of faith. That's what it is. Your faith and my faith must be in the stand. The stand upon the Word of God. Let me tell you what it don't supposed to be in. It don't supposed to be in the check. And it don't supposed to be in our feeling. In other words, we're not checking to see whether we got it. We're not, in other words, our faith can't be in the check. Our faith can't be in the feeling. Our faith must be in the stand upon the Word of God. You know where most people lose it at? Once they believe they receive it, they wake up in the morning, they got the pain again. And so their faith is in the check. Their faith, in other words, they check themselves. Their faith is in the checking themselves. Their faith is in the feeling. And nowhere in the Bible does it say our faith should be in the check or in the feeling. It's supposed to be in the stand. And if it's in the stand, then we can stand and resist the enemy. But if it's in the check, then, or in the feeling, here's what comes to our mind. We must not have it yet. We must not have it yet. We must not have it yet. So we're always trying to receive what God says He's already given. But there has to be a point that we just draw the line in the sand and say, no, I believe I received it. Once we do, it's no longer in the feeling. Our faith can't be in the feeling. Our faith, see, listen. Feelings will follow faith, not the other way around. If you believe you received, the feelings are going to show up sometime. But your faith can't be in the feeling. It has to be in the, and it can't be in the check. It has to be in the stand. It has to be on your stand upon the Word of God. So let me tell you a story that will drive this point home. Can I? I think it will help us all. It helped me many years ago. This story I'm about to tell happened to me, true life story happened to me. And it's how God taught me. You know, when Pastor Deb and I got saved in 1986, we got turned on to the Word of God because of this church. This church right here. This church that's not perfect, has never had a perfect pastor. Pastor Bob and Betty Ann, how I love them. They were wonderful. I have nothing but the highest and the best in heaven today. And I've never said anything but the highest and best. But were they perfect? No, I tell everybody, there's no perfect pastor. You're going to have to go to heaven to meet him. And that's not an excuse to do something wrong. That's not what I'm saying. But I'm just saying anybody can look and see that none of us are perfect. Now, that is no excuse to live in sin or do something wrong. That's not what I'm saying. That is no excuse in that. But what I'm saying is, we are to be examples, but the one that we put out, we can follow people as they follow Christ, but our eyes must be on Jesus. You'll never get disappointed with Jesus. So I thank God we came to this church, Pastor Bob and Betty Ann. We introduced the healing, introduced the baptism, not only salvation, but the baptism of the Holy Spirit and healing. And then Pastor Jerry and Jill, wonderful pastors. Pray and just further take the church further. All those things. Well, when Pastor Debbie and I got saved in 1986, within 2 years, one of the things that I was tired of being was sick. And one of the things I was sick every year on, every fall or winter, and every spring or early summer, I got strep throat without exception. I got tired of that. And when we got saved and when I started hearing about healing, Pastor Debbie and I just devoured books on healing. Brother Kenneth Hagin, E.W. Kenyon, different books on T.L. Osborne, several books on healing that we just devoured. I know I did. I know she did as well. But I really spent time devouring these books that taught me what the Word of God said. Okay? Now, so you read books that teach you, help explain and drive the points home. These teachings help explain the Scripture and help drive those points home. And I spent time meditating on those things, getting those things into my heart. So fast forward, this happened probably about maybe 3 or 4 years after we got saved. And I'll forget, I was sick and tired of being sick and tired. So I remember it was on a Saturday, and I was, back then I was a meat manager, was cutting meat. And Saturday, if you know anything about grocery stores, if you go on Saturday, some of you try to avoid Saturdays because they're busy, praise the Lord. And so one of the busiest days. And so that day I had woken up that morning. Now see, I had learned about healing, and I had learned some things, but learning and doing is two different things. You got to apply what you know or it don't work. And there will be the test of faith. No matter who we are, there's no such thing as having faith that won't be tested or contested. And just because you've got it doesn't mean you're not going to be tested on it again. But in this case, I had woke up that morning and I had symptoms in my body. And I could hear it. I could feel it coming, strep throat. I could hear it in my head. You know what I'm saying? Well, look, you know what's coming. You know the feeling. You know how it works. So I went to work that day and resisting those things. And I can tell you, I was in a battle. I was in a battle that day. And I remember that all that morning, I didn't feel good. I remember I was expecting, not only is it one of the busiest days of the week, but we had a truck that came in that day. That means I'm going to, and I know what I had on sale. I had chuck roast on sale. And for the brothers here who have cut meat, those boxes that you put away, if you have them on sale, I probably had 20 cases come in that day. Well, they weigh anywhere from somewhere between a light one, 70 pounds to 90 some pounds. And you're throwing them up on top of stuff and so on and so forth. And so, you know, you don't feel like doing that if you're not feeling good. And plus, that's just one thing on the 100 pieces of stuff that comes in, and you putting it all away, and you're having to cut and doing all this. I'll never forget, I was battling in my mind, and my mind told me at lunchtime, you just need to tell your boss, go home. And I've never done this before. Go home and go to the doctor because you're sick. And I had that morning took a stab at healing. You know what I'm talking about? Take a stab at healing. Anybody ever taking a stab at healing? It just pray and believe that you receive, but you really didn't because you allowed your feelings, or you may have, but you allowed your feelings to get you right back into that doubt again. That place again. It's just real. I never forget it. I was in such turmoil. I was like, I was this close to just going to the back and telling my boss, I'm leaving. I need to go to the doctor. And I never forget, I can see myself walk into the cooler, shut the door, and I did one smart thing. I said, Lord, I went just like this, Lord, what should I do? And here's what I heard, just stand. That's what I heard in my spirit, just stand. I said, that's Scripture. having done all to stand therefore. So I said, devil, I resist you. Sickness, strep throat, get out of here. I resist you now. Get out of here. In Jesus' name, I'm healed. And I got it. I said, now I didn't feel any different. I can just tell you I didn't feel any different. But I acted different. I spoke differently. And I took those things. I put it all away. And I went back to work. And I know that night we were supposed to go out and go out on a date. And go get crab legs that night. Well, I can just tell you, my plans are already changed. Prior to that, I ain't going to eat crab legs. I ain't feeling like it. But now, because I've received, praise God, and I'm standing and resisting and opposing, amen, and saying, no, I got it. Blessed be God. And acting on the word of God, not only did I finish that day, but by the time I went home and the night that we went and sitting across each other, the symptoms subsided and left. And from that day to day, I've never had another attack of strep throat. Never. And I won't. And if it tries, I run it off. But I never have. And I don't plan on. Because I know what the word says. See, I heard just stand. And I acted on it. Genuine faith. Listen. So, I've received now what? Well, the first thing is what? You stand of faith. Okay, you stand in faith. You know what's next? Genuine faith acts on the Word of God. It acts on the Word of God. It has to act on the Word of God, or it's not faith. James 2:20 says it like this. But wilt thou, O man, or wilt thou know, O vain man, that faith without works is dead? Now, that's the King James Version. Let me read it to you from another couple translation. It says, faith without corresponding actions is dead. See, unless faith has to have corresponding actions. That's what it means by works there. It means that we have corresponding actions. That, in other words, you act your faith out. You act like you're healed because you believe you are. One translation says it like this. Faith that does nothing is worth nothing. Faith that does nothing is worth nothing. In other words, dead faith won't work. Do you believe that Jesus is alive today? Let me tell you something. Dead faith won't do you no more than a dead Jesus. Come on. Jesus is alive, and because He's alive, He did all this for us. And now our faith can be in Him. And faith without corresponding actions is dead. That means it won't work. It's dead faith. Dead faith won't do you any more good than a dead Jesus. But Jesus is alive, and He expects our faith to be alive. Amen. And faith has action. And faith is in the stand. And in the stand, there must be action. You must act on the Word of God. But let me tell you another way to act on the Word of God. In the stand of faith, there must be the confession of faith. In the stand of faith, there must be the confession of faith. Your stand of faith must have the good confession. And your confession that I'm talking about is, the good confession I'm talking about is the Word of God. Praise God. Let's look at 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 12. And I'm going to read this from the New King James Version. Here's what it says. Fight the good fight of faith. So there's the only fight the believer is called to fight is a faith fight. It's the good fight of faith. It is a faith fight. It's the fight to stay in faith, or the stand of faith I take upon the Word of God against all that would oppose me. See, we're not really fighting the devil. We're fighting to stay in faith. If you stay in faith, you realize the devil's defeated. You just put him in his place. Hallelujah. Fight the good fight of faith. Lay hold on eternal life, to which you are also called, and have confessed the good confession. Everybody knows they have confessed the good confession in the presence of many witnesses. Praise God. Now notice it says, fight the good fight of faith, lay hold on eternal life. So listen, you know what the word lay hold on means? It means make your own. In other words, just like eternal life is made your own by your good confession, so is healing. Because remember, once again, salvation and healing were purchased at the same time. And the same way you receive eternal life or salvation is the same way you're going to receive healing, by your faith. And you, according to this, you take hold of it. In other words, it says lay hold of, but the word lay hold of can be translated make your own, make it your own. How you do it? It tells you, by your good confession. Hallelujah. So, confession or faith's confession means to say the same thing that God says. It means to agree with God. See, that's what confession means. Confession just means to say the same thing. To say the same thing that God says. It means to agree with God. So if God says you're healed, that's why you call yourself healed. See, people that don't understand what the word teaches say, well, you're lying because you're so... I've had people tell me, say, well, Pastor, am I lying because I call myself healed? When I feel like I'm not, my body tells me something else. I said, did God lie? He calls you healed, don't he? Then it's right for you to call yourself healed. You're not lying by calling yourself what God calls you. God would never ask us to lie, but he does call those things that be not as though they were. And you won't get it unless you do the same. Praise the Lord. So the good confession is how we make it ours. And so not only do we have, I've received, now what? The stand of faith, we act on the Word of God, and one of the first ways we act on, or one of the ways that we act on the Word of God is that good confession. Matter of fact, you're not going to stand long without a good confession. You won't win without a good confession. You can't win without a good confession because the Bible tells us this is how we possess our land. Your voice is your address in the spirit, and in other words, is how everything's going to be connected from that realm to this realm by what you say. Death and life are in the power of the tongue. Proverbs 18:21, you can write that down, but it's in the power of the tongue. Tongue, let me tell you something. The unchanging law of faith. You know, just like there's laws, natural laws like gravity, there's spiritual laws. One of the spiritual laws is faith. The Bible says in Romans chapter 3, it calls it the law of faith. Listen, the unchanging law of faith is to believe with the heart and confess with your mouth. That's faith. And until those two connect and are together, it is not faith. It is not faith just to say it. It's faith when your heart believes it and your mouth agrees with it and says it. That's how it works. Let me give you verses for that. Romans 10, 9 and 10. If you would confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe. Everybody say confess and believe. The reason you confess is because you believe something. In other words, you can confess all the day long, but your confession is supposed to be because you're believing something. It is not believing that because you say it, God will do it. It's you're saying it because you believe God's already done it. You're just agreeing with what God has said. Your faith, your confession is not making God do something that he doesn't want to do. Your faith is not making God do something that he's already said he's already done. It's just you agreeing that God has done it, and as far as you're concerned, you have it. That's what confession is supposed to be. It's agreeing. It is saying what we agree in our heart with. That's where the faith is. It's in our heart and our mouth. Always remember this. Faith is in two places. In your mouth and in your heart. Notice I didn't say it was in your head. Your head will always give you a problem. Look at your neighbor and say, he told the truth right there. Your head will always give you a problem. Most of the time, your head is going to give you some problem, but that's not what you believe with. Your mind is the key because your mind, whether it's either going to side in with your heart or it's going to side in with your feelings. And if it sides in your feelings, it's over. That's where your faith is in the check or in the feeling. But if your mind sides in with your spirit, then your faith can be in the stand and you'll get it. If you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe with your heart that God raised him from the dead, you shall be saved. For with the heart man believes, verse 10, with the heart man believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. Now this word, listen, unto is very significant in the Greek. And it's not wrong to say this unto. Listen, it translated like this. If you translate it as the word resulting to, makes more sense. It says, for with the heart man, because that's exactly what this word in the Greek means. For with the heart man believes, resulting in righteousness, or in resulting in you being righteous. And with the mouth confession is made, resulting in you being saved. But notice it's two places, heart and mouth. Hallelujah. Heart and mouth. Heart and mouth. Well, if you're going to believe, you got to believe with your heart that you received it. Got to believe with you. And see, that's, but your mind can still give you, you can believe with the heart and still have problems with your mind. You just got to keep renewing your mind and telling you, casting down those imaginations. You just got to resist imagination. Remember, faith is in the stand, and you will have to stand. But how you stand is important. You act on the Word of God, and the first way, one of the first ways you act on it is by the words you speak. What are you saying? No, I believed, I received, devil. I've got it. I've got it. I got it according to 1 Peter 2:24. By His stripes I'm healed. Hallelujah. Glory be to God. Now let's look at this in closing today. Philemon 1:6. Philemon 1:6 says that the communication, or that means the sharing of your faith, becomes effectual or powerful by the acknowledging every good thing that's in you in Christ. How many know that one of the good things that are in you in Christ is healing? It ain't just salvation. And it's not just, it's important this is that you're a new creature in Christ, or that you're the righteousness of God in Christ. As important as that is, how many know that's not the end of the story? One of the good things that are in you in Christ that belongs to you, whatever, let me just tell you this. Whatever's in Christ is in you. I can just tell you, whatever's in Christ is in you. And faith turns that key on. You'll never get to heaven and ask God why, and He not say it was already in you. It's already in us because He's in us. See, I know we're always looking for healing to come from out there to here. It really comes from in out. It really comes from our spirit out, because that's where He's at. The communication of the sharing of our faith. If you share your faith, you say something. Is that correct? Okay. Becomes effectual. That means powerful, energized, working. Here's how faith works. By the acknowledging of every good thing that's in you in Christ Jesus. Like, by Jesus' stripes I'm healed. I'm a new creature in Christ. I'm the righteousness of God in Christ. I am healed by Jesus' stripes. Christ ought to redeem me from the curse of the law. Come on. It is saying what God's word says about you, including healing. The good confession or faith confession puts your faith to work for you. And it is not only part of your stand of faith, but the sword of the Spirit by which you resist and overcome every enemy with. Every enemy. Doubt and unbelief, pain, everything else. That's how we do it. Once faith receives, it stands. It acts, it speaks, and it resists. That's what faith looks like. See, if you think for a moment you're not going to have to stand, if you think for a moment you're not going to have to confess, if you think for one moment that you're not going to have to, you're not going to have to act, if you think for a moment you're not going to have to resist the enemy any, then you're mistaken. Because the enemy doesn't want you to keep what you have. And he can only get you to relinquish it. And you relinquish it. The number one way you relinquish it is with your own words. Man, I hope this has helped. Sure hasn't hurt. So I've received. Now what? See, receiving is not the end of it. It means you got it. Now you got to keep it. Not because God is trying to take it away, but He's given you the authority to not only receive what He's given, but obviously to walk in it and to keep it. It's up to us, not up to God. God, where are you? God says, hey, I'm going to tell you where I am. I'm in you, But I'm in all those pages right there. And that tells you where I am. So by reading it, you know He's in you. You know what He's done. You know what He's given. And so that when faith arises and you really believe that with your heart and can hook your mouth up that, then I can tell you, not only do you receive, but then from that place, you must stand. Stand upon the Word. This is why, not just any Word. Well, you know, a person says, well, you know, I just believe all the Word. Wonderful. But I can tell you that saying, I believe all the Word, ain't going to work for you. I'm just going to tell you, I've never seen one person tell me that I just believe all the Word and it's working for them. Your faith is specific. Your faith is always certain. It's specific. It has something. It's not this stand on this void or uncertain area. No, it's very certain. It has specifics that it stands on. It's called the Word of God. And it doesn't have to be many scriptures. Matter of fact, I'll suggest it be one or two.
Right.
And you get that in you in such a way that nobody can take that away from you.
Right.
Hallelujah. Glory to God. This hasn't hurt us today, has it? So God's remedy is redemption. Everything that God, that man lost in Adam was restored by Christ through redemption. And just like salvation was purchased on Calvary, so is healing. And just like one is the will of God for mankind, both are. And it's God's will for us to be healed, just like it is for God's will for us to be saved. But it's not up to God. God did His part. It's like I always say, it's like a checker game. It's a poor illustration, but you'll get the point. What do you call a person in checkers that moves twice? A cheater. God don't cheat. God moved to us. He moved first. He made the move first in sending Jesus. He told us that we have to respond, that faith responds and receives what His Son did. Once He moved, He's expecting us to move. It's in our court. Now it's up to me. Now it's up to you just to receive what God's given. Hallelujah. Now, this ain't chess. Checkmate is checks. Checkmate is chess, but I don't know what if you done checkers or whatever, but you just win. Praise God. So look at your neighbor and say, you win. Praise the Lord. You win. Praise God. You win. Let's stand to our feet today. Hallelujah. Let's lift our hands and thank God. Let's lift our hands and make a confession of faith. Let's make a confession of faith. Now, I realize this. Before we make this confession, why don't you just thank God for a moment? We got a few seconds here. Let's thank God for a moment for His goodness, for His Word. Lord, we love You. We thank You for Your Word. And we are going to make a faith confession here. But I also realize this, that maybe someone in here today that say, yep, I get what you're saying, Pastor, but I want hands laid on me. And when hands are laid on me, that's a method of healing. I'm going to believe I receive the moment hands are laid upon me. And then from that point on, you got the stand of faith, and we're going to make our confession of faith together. So I'm going to ask if there's anyone in here today that wants hands laid onto them today, because they're going to believe that's the method they're going to receive and release that faith, receiving what God's healing power would do in them. If that's you, I want you to come, and we're going to pray for you, and then we're going to make a faith confession together. Come, if that's you. If not, we're going to make a faith confession. I realize that most of you have been in these messages. Most of you have. You've probably already received. I'm not asking you to receive again. I'm asking you to stay. And once you receive, you ain't got to receive again unless you give it away. But faith is in the staying, remember, not in the check, not in the feeling. So how do I know I got it? By what the Word says. God's given. Did you take it? Yep, I took it. So let's say this together. I am a child of God. Now, listen, don't say this, but listen to me. Say it with your mouth, meet it with your heart. In other words, don't just say it off your head. Look down on the inside. Let these words come up. They come out of your mouth, but let your heart agree with it. Get used to letting your heart agree. You're not looking somewhere out here. You're looking down here, because that's where God lives and His Spirit is. Say this with me. I am a child of God. I'm a new creature in Christ. And I am the righteousness of God in Christ. Thank You, Lord, that Christ hath redeemed me from the curse of the law, being made a curse for me. So for spiritual death, I have eternal life. For poverty, I have wealth. For sickness and disease, I believe I received health. And according to 1 Peter 2:24, by Jesus' stripes, I was healed. So if I was, I believe I am. I speak against every symptom, everything, disease or sickness that has come against my body. I resist it and say no to it. I say no to pain. I say no to doubt and unbelief. In Jesus' name, go. And I say that according to the Word of God, by Jesus' stripes I am healed. Body, line up with the Word of God. You are healed. I am the redeemed. I am the delivered. And I say so. Because let the redeemed of the Lord say so. Who have been redeemed from the hand of the enemy. So because of redemption, Father, I am free. I am healed. I am delivered. And I say so. And I take my stand. I act on the word. And my confession of faith causes me to stand. It causes me to resist. And I say that I have what you say I have, Father. I am healed. I am delivered. And I give you the praise in Jesus' name. Now just thank Him for it. Hallelujah. Glory be to God. Thank you, Lord. That's how it works. That's how you said it. We just praise you for it right now, Lord. I speak this over the people of God, every person viewing as well. We call them well, whole, and healed. And we give you the praise for it. Hallelujah.